Well, we're back and we're talking on the subject of the facets of Islam. And this particular segment, we've been dealing with the subject of Islam being inclusive, all inclusive. Of course, we talked about the universe. That's all part of what's in Islam. We spoke about tribes and nations, and we talked about the individual. We talked about children being in Islam. How about someone who is very old, someone really, really old? And they were a good person. They believed in God. They were trying to do God's will, basically, okay? But then when they get real old and their mind is not firm anymore and they're starting to do strange things and even misbehaving, I want to use that word, doing things that are, well, bad, really bad. And this happens a lot of times to the elderly. And it's something in dementia that they can't help. Now, what would be their condition? They were a lovely person. They used to worship God appropriately. They used to be good. They used to do many good deeds. But now in this condition, in this Alzheimer's or dementia, now they are saying bad words, doing things, and they die in this condition. Islam is telling us that don't worry about it because they can't help it. This was not something they did intentional. This was not something that they wanted to do. This was something like a breakdown. Therefore, they're not responsible for it. Islam tells us the pen is lifted. This isn't recorded against them. The same holds true for a person who's mentally ill or suffers from some kind of mental disease that they're just not able to comprehend, and they're doing the best they can. And this is so sweet. Because we learn in Islam that nobody is burdened more than they can bear. Allah doesn't put a burden on somebody more than they can handle. And nobody carries the burden of somebody else. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. This is so sweet when you read this and understand it, that Allah, the creator, the sustainer, he knows what's inside of you. He knows what you're trying to do. He knows what's hard for you. He knows what's easy. And regardless of what the others think or what they consider, that doesn't matter. It's between you and him because it's so totally inclusive that it doesn't matter what you are, what's happening around you, that if you're doing your best and you're submitting to him as much as you can, he knows that, and it's up to him to be the judge. I love that. Sometimes a concept like this takes a few minutes to get adjusted in your mind, to really think about it. Review with me just for a second. Let's go back over that and look again. What we're saying is that if somebody came at the time of Abraham and he did his best to follow his prophet, he's included. What if somebody came at the time of Moses and he did the best to follow his prophet? He's included. What about those who came later with David and Solomon, with Jesus the Christ, John the Baptist, with Muhammad, peace be upon him? All would be included, but carry it another step forward. What about the people that come after us? What about the very last days? What about way down the line? Could they still be included too? As long as they recognize that God is there, is one, and they are trying to do what he wants done to the best of their ability, they're included. So if we now look to the subject of these various groups, and we know that the Jews divided up into many groups, the children of Israel broke off into so many different groups. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Osenes, the Nazarenes, so many different groups, schisms. Then Christianity and how it broke up into the Orthodox, into the Catholic, and to the Lutherans and the Protestants. Then there were the Baptists and Methodists, the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the Church of God in Christ. So many different ones. Then we look to the Muslims and we see, oh my gosh, you guys are dividing up the same way. The smart move, of course, for all of us is to set aside any kind of nomenclature which might separate us from the mainstream of the deen. It would be really wise to take these names and toss them and stay right in the mainstream and just say, I want to be Ahl Deen. I want to be in this mainstream, to be included of those who recognize one God and just want to do things his way on his terms. That would be the best. But regardless of what a person says with their mouth, Allah is looking into their heart. And regardless of how you may group somebody, and you might say, well, this guy, he's with this particular minhaj or methodology, or this lady, she's with this group, and they're, you know, they do this or that. But again, we go back to how Islam is so inclusive that that isn't really the whole subject, is it? So it's up to him, the creator, the sustainer, the provider. It's up to him to tell on the day of judgment who is included in his salvation and who is included in the paradise and who is going to be forgiven and all the rest. It really is simple, isn't it, when you think about it? And it's attractive, too, to consider that anybody, anytime, any place could be included. Included in this particular facet that we're talking about now. I wonder, really, if we sit with someone, regardless of their understanding of religion, just sit with them, and without mentioning religious names or sects, just talk about it in the general term. I wonder if they'd be more amenable to the subject. Without going into this particular, you have to be from this place, you have to say these particular words, just to keep it open, keep it inclusive. There is God. He's one. We need to do what he wants to do. By the way, I've used this on a number of occasions. And when I did, I found the people immediately were receptive and began to think and began to open up. And we were able to tear down a lot of barriers, and people were able to see better what we're talking about with real Islam, not some phony, baloney Islam that some imam or mulana came up with and said, you do this and you do so and so. But really, the essence, the inclusive concept that is for everybody. Whoever wants to understand, whoever wants to take the time and open up their heart, open up their mind, and just say, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's have it. And then, could be, they'll be guided. What's really amazing here is that when the person asks to be included as one who's being guided, we see how Allah, the Creator, begins to guide them. And they don't need to say the word Allah. In my own case, I'm living proof of that. Because I didn't say Allah guide me, I said God guide me. That was the word I used. And that word didn't even exist, by the way, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yet he accepted it and guided me into Islam, even though I used this word God. So we can see it's not just the words, is it? It's the intention behind it. And to be included in Islam is to have the right intention. We mentioned it before, but it's appropriate, I think, to mention again that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he told us, innama a'malu bin niyyah, that for sure, all the actions, all the deeds are going to be rewarded according to the intention. So to keep this intention pure and for the sake of the God above, and this will keep the person included in this deen or in this way. I recall that when I was talking with a Catholic priest before I entered into Islam, that he talked to me about this same idea. He told me that in Catholicism, one of the things they did was to study Islam. And he said in his studies of Islam, although being presented by non-Muslims in texts, curriculum, written by non-Muslims, it still used the basic words that I'm using right now. And he said, I found this to be something really sweet, pure, simple, and inclusive. And that is that anybody could do it. Take, for instance, the example of the person on the desert island. How did they get there and who knows? But still, that person could be included as well, because all they would have to do is look around. Maybe they'll see a coconut in a tree and say, how did the coconut get there? If they realize, I didn't put it there. How did it grow? How did it come up? How did the tree come from a seed? How did all this happen? Except there must be a God. There must be something there, you know? Now, he doesn't have anybody to talk to. He's by himself. He doesn't have any book. He doesn't have a Quran. Doesn't have a Bible. Doesn't have a dictionary. Doesn't have the encyclopedia. Maybe doesn't even know about reading and writing. But he knows that that coconut came from somewhere. He knows he didn't do it. And he decides, you know what? There must be a God. And he sees the sun coming up over here. It looks like it's going down over there. Maybe he doesn't understand that the earth is turning. Maybe he doesn't. But he knows something's happening up there. He knows he's not doing it. Comes to the conclusion there's a God. God is one. And he wishes he could please his God. And that's enough. That's enough right there to be included. Now, what about the one who just doesn't get the message at all? And I've had people ask me that one too. And I said, well, what about the story of the one I just told you about the desert island? And they said, yeah, but what if? What if? Okay, listen to this. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us that on the day of judgment, that God himself would then give that person the ample opportunity to be tested to see if he would really do God's will. And if he would do it, he could still enter paradise. So there's no way that anybody's excluded from this beautiful deen, this way called Islam. And this inclusiveness is one of the many beautiful facets of Islam.